This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. How big was it? New research published in the journal Science shows that last December's Southeast Asia earthquake and the resulting tsunami were surprisingly complex events. And as bad as they were, they could have been worse. Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday, is here to talk with us. He's a regular Thursday contributor to Day to Day. Ira, what are these recent findings?
Well, you know, as you say, they show just how enormous and powerful the tsunami and the earthquake were. Scientists say that the scope of these events have left seismologists literally searching for words and tools to describe the enormity of the geological processes involved. But they have put some numbers to it, and these numbers are amazing. They say it was the second largest earthquake on record and the third most fatal. It released the energy equivalent of a 100 gigaton bomb, and that's about as much energy that is used in the U.S. in 6 months.
Boy.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the shifts in the seafloor display so much seawater that the tsunami traveled as far as Antarctica in the south, the east and west coasts of the Americas, and as far north as the Arctic Ocean. And sea levels were raised around the globe, if just by a tiny amount, so that really, Alex, no point on Earth remained undisturbed.
Well, as you say, this is the tsunami, but it's the earthquake itself where all this started. What do we know more about that?
And there are some surprising results about that, too. Yes, the geologists report that it got off to what they call a flying start and then a slow slip. That means that during the first minute that the earthquake broke a 60-mile patch of tectonic plate boundary, it began moving slowly northward, and had it stopped, it would have been nothing more than a typical 7 on a Richter scale. But instead of slowing, as they normally do, this one really accelerated. And scientists who are listening with their instruments, so to speak, to the shockwaves, they describe it propagating like a noisy fire engine traveling northwest. It would make a higher pitch moving northward toward Russia, a lower pitch to those listening in Australia. Huh. So it was sort of like the Doppler effect you hear as a car passes. It goes
right.
Higher than lower, like that.
Okay, well, what is the headline here? What is the biggest single surprise that scientists have coming out of this?
Well, the most remarkable feature was not this 5,000-mile-per-hour, 10-minute initial unzipping of the plate boundary. It was that subsequent slowing down very quickly that surprised them. And this slow slip left some really interesting real estate behind. For example, you may have seen pictures of the shorelines that were raised more than 4 meters in some places, while the shorelines in other places just were dipping below the ocean. And despite the terrific loss of life and property, it was this slowing down that may have actually saved more lives, because if the northern slip had not been slowed, geologist Roger Billam writes in Science, it might have generated a tsunami along the entire 1,300-kilometer rupture zone, and this would have caused much more widespread and severe damage on the coastlines of India, Myanmar, and Thailand.
Ira Flatow, host of NPR's Science Friday and regular Thursday contributor to Day to Day, summing up here information that's in the new issue of the journal Science about the effects of this tsunami at the end of last year. Ira, thank you again.
You're welcome, Alex.